I've got a loud enough mouth that doesn't matter whether we have the mic on or not. Amen. So I promise you, you're going to hear me either way.
Amen.
But I'm looking forward to the meeting. And I actually took some time off just to focus on this meeting. The pastor mentioned, folks, and I want you to encourage you to call someone tomorrow. Have them here. Do you realize after tonight, the meeting is a third over? It's one third over after tonight. I want to share something with you. I go back in time and probably I'm looking around, maybe one, but I'm probably the oldest man in the room. Probably close to the oldest person in the room. But I've been pastoring and preaching for a long, long time now. Over 30 years. And we used to have revival meetings 3 weeks, 4 weeks long. I tell people all the time that our flesh can't take too much of God. We get tired, we get weary. Today we've shrunk it down, and this church is one of the few that even has a revival meeting anymore. I mentioned at work, I was taking some time off, and I said, we're going to have a revival meeting. I'm going to be preaching a revival meeting. 99% said, what is a revival? What is a revival? And so let me say to you, revival is not folks getting saved, but we'd love for folks to get saved.
Amen.
We want folks to come, invite anyone and everyone you possibly can. But let me just say also, if you and I have revival, and what I'm talking in generics tonight, when I say you, this is speaking to me as well. And so if you and I have revival, I promise you, folks will get saved as a result of you having revival. Now, I've got a theme that I'm going to mention, and I'm just going to mention this for the next 3 nights. And I'm going to start this off each night with a question. What is stopping you from having a revival? You know, I used to, as 30 years ago, starting in the ministry 30 plus years ago, I pictured in my mind, and we had some great meetings, but I pictured in my mind that I was going to see America have a great revival. I do not, and I'm not a fatalist, so I want you to understand that. I do not believe America probably will have revival. But that doesn't mean that you can't have revival. That doesn't mean that I can't have revival.
Amen.
And so it's got to start right here. And this message tonight is for you. It's for me. And we asked ourselves the question tonight, what is stopping you, what's stopping me from having revival? Tonight, we're going to pick up the first message tonight, and I want you to take your Bible and turn over to 2 Samuel with me. 2 Samuel. I pray tonight that God speaks to our hearts. I pray tonight that God deals with us as individuals. Tonight, we're going to look at a few scriptures here, and you might entitle this message, David's Mighty Men. But we're not going to title that. We're going to entitle this, these be the names that you can put your name here, that I can put my name here. And so it, just to stretch a little bit, if you are able to please stand to your feet, if you're able. I want us, out of respect to the Word of God, start in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino. The Eznite, he lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. Again, the title we use tonight, these be the names. Father, we love you. And God, you are a good and gracious and holy God. Now, God, tonight we need revival. I pray that you speak to our hearts. I pray tonight, God, we're primarily here tonight are saved and born again believers. And God, I sure want to see revival in my heart. Lord, stir us tonight. Stir us, each one of us tonight, that we might have revival. And God, if we have revival, we may not be large in number, but God, if we have revival, we can see mighty results. God, I ask you, work and touch and bless, and we'll give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Some of these names may not look too familiar to you tonight, but let me say to you, as you look at these names, they may look like big words. Being from the South, I always got advantage, and if I mispronounce a word, somebody said, "Preacher, you mispronounce a word." I say, "That's okay. That's the way we say it down South." Yep. It's like my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather could not read. My great-grandfather, he would look at the newspaper and they would ask, and back in those days, back in Virginia, they put a lot of pictures in the newspaper. And one day they said, "Papa," said, "you're looking at the newspaper there." Well, he had the newspaper upside down. And they said, "What does that say?" Well, someplace they were christening a big ship. He said, "Lord of mercy, what a tragedy." He said, "A ship has turned upside down." So if I mispronounce a word, don't worry about that. But let's ask God tonight about us. These be the names, and we're going to just look at three men tonight. And ladies, you can put your name there as well. So we look at these three names tonight, and the first one we're going to look at tonight, let's go back up to verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Techmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adonah. The Eznite, he lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Now, can you imagine for a moment, here's a man named Adonah, and the Bible says he slew 800 men at one time. Can you see it now? Here's old Adonah. He's got just him and his spear. And he said, hey, he slew 800 men. And can you imagine, hey, there's so many men and you can barely see Adonah. I can see the first one now. He goes up there, "Let me have a piece of him." The next one comes up, and then there's 100 that gather around him. And there's 200 that gather around him. And there's 500 that gather around him. And he slew all 800. Just one man. You may be sitting there tonight and you say, "I'm just one person. I'm just one person here at Majesty Baptist Church. What can I do? I mean, what can this little church do? What can I do just being one person? Don't you think you got the same God that Adonai had? Don't you think that God can do the same thing in your life and in my life? Amen. We can go, hey, listen, I'll face all odds when I got God on my side. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. You need to ask yourself tonight, for me to have revival, am I doing my best for God? Hey, listen, the devil will make you think you're not worthy of anything. That I can't do anything. I'm too old. I'm not old enough. I'm a woman. I'm a man. But the devil will put all kinds of thoughts in your mind that you can't do anything. But never forget old Adonai. These be the men. Tonight we need to get on our face. Not play games with God and not play games with ourselves and look at ourselves and say, listen, Lord, I want revival. I want to be used of you. I want my life pure and clean. I want to serve you. God, I want to be like Adonai. I want to do my very best for you. You know, I love it. I love when the odds are against us. I love when they say it can't be done. I love that. I love when they say that you cannot do this. Kathy and I, 30 years ago, went to West Virginia. Preachers told me that's a preacher's graveyard in West Virginia. We went there. We had nothing. We went there. And we saw the mighty, and we started the church there, and the mighty hand of God worked. We saw God work miracle after miracle. The roughest man in town, he owned a car lot. He owned a car lot, and I went and introduced myself to him one day, and I said, Tom, I'm Pastor Hilton Lawrence. What can I do for you? I said, you see that van right there? Yeah. I said, we need a van to pick up folks. We're growing a church. It was right across the road from us. I said, we're going to see God do a mighty work. He said, okay. He said, this is what, I said, you didn't understand me. I want you to give me that van. He said, are you crazy, man? You better go back to Virginia. I said, no. I said, I'm going to pray you give me that van. So 2 weeks went by, a month went by. I even forgot what Tom looked like. It'd been so long, and I went down to the post office, and here's a man walking down. I said, how you doing? I didn't know it was Tom. Walked by, and he said, hey, Pastor. I said, yes, sir. He said, come up there and get that van this evening and take it over to the church. I don't need it anyway. Hey, listen, we say it can't be done, but I'm telling you, God can do it. And God can do it through you if you will listen to God. If you'll get on your face and say, God, I want to be used by you.
Amen.
Just like Adonai.
Amen.
Put your name there tonight. Claim the victory tonight. Hey, I'm going against the odds. Hey, claim the victory for Majesty Baptist Church. Hey, little as much when God's in it. And I'm telling you right now, God's going to do a great and mighty work here at Majesty Baptist Church. But it's got to start with you. It's got to start with you. Just one man. Just one man, just one woman. One against the odds. These be the names. And now we see Adonai, but let's go on a little further. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. Now, let me just tell you right now. Eleazar was meaner than the devil. How do you know that? Well, it don't say it. He had to be. Can you imagine going to school and your daddy was named Dodo? Can you imagine that? You'd have to fight. You'd have to Eliezer's daddy's name, Dodo. That boy had to fight when he was a boy. I just made that up. But can you imagine having a daddy named Dodo? Your daddy's a Dodo. Can you think about that? So we look here at the name. Look at what it says here about O Eliezer. The son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle. And the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Boy, it's a mouthful right here. Look at Eliezer. Here was Eliezer. He went into the battle. He used the sword. He went into that battle. And the Bible says that he clave to that sword. That he got so weary, he clave to that sword. Literally, his hand was just glued to that sword. He couldn't even turn it loose. When I was 21 years old, Kathy and I were just first married. Her daddy helped start a volunteer fire department back in Virginia. I was in the volunteer fire department and an EMT for a long, long time here as well. And when I was first in the fire department, I'm 21 years old, I'm gung-ho. I'm ready to jump. We call it getting in the Kool-Aid. You're ready to just jump in any burning building. You ain't got no sense. You're crazy. Now, you remember, we didn't have all the fire equipment they had back then. Back then, in those days, back in Virginia, fireworks were illegal. But we lived on the Virginia-North Carolina border. In North Carolina, they were legal. It was about 2 weeks from July 4th, and it was dry. It was dry as a bone. And we had a bad fire. It was a wood fire and a grass fire. I can see that now. And this man's house and his buildings were right next to that burning field and that brush and that woods. And we were fighting that fire, you know, haphazardly. And he says, I want you to understand that I do pyrotechnics for North Carolina. And I just filled these buildings up with all kinds of explosions. And I remember getting on our knees and we were holding those hoses so tight. We didn't know what was going to happen. But I tell you what, I remember as I read this scripture, I always think about that. I was cleaving on so hard, you literally almost had to pry my fingers loose from that. Can I say today we got the sword, we got the Word of God. Amen. We got the Word of God, and I tell you what, that's how much we need to hold on to it. Amen. I'm telling you today, we need to be in a blessed book. We need to be learning the book, and we need to cleave to the book. We need to stay in the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Hey, you cleave to the Word of God. You cleave to it. Hey, listen, we need to study to show thyself approved. We need to constantly, you know what's happened to our churches today? You know why so much junk has come into the churches? Because we're ignorant when it comes to the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. Your pastor can be the best preacher in the world. He can be the best teacher in the world. But brothers and sisters, we need to be in the Word of God every day of our lives. And we need to cleave to the Word of God. We need to stand on the promises of the Word of God. We need to stand on that. Notice what he says there. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. I mentioned about Adonai. I mentioned about him taking on the odds. I mentioned that God's going to do a great work in your life. I mentioned God's going to do a great work here at Majesty Baptist Church. But notice what happened when the battles came. Those people fled away. But there was Eliezer. Can I say stand true? Stand true to God. Stand true to your pastor. Stand true to Majesty Baptist Church. And I'm telling you right now, people are going to say they're going to want to return to the spoil. Hey, they don't want to pay the price. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to be out there sweating and knocking doors. They don't want to be putting out tracts. They don't want to be teaching Sunday school classes. They don't want to be running a bus route. They just want to return for the spoil.
Right.
But I tell you what, God knows who does what. And it's God that's keeping the record. Can I say to you, just cleave to the Word of God. You just keep doing what you're supposed to do. God will use you in ways that you'll never dream of. I shared with someone the other day, hopefully within another year or so, I'm writing a book. And I talk about one of the things that I think about when I was about 9, 10, 11 years old, living on a farm back in Virginia in tobacco country. We lived in a little old shack, and we had a little hill there, and I would lay on that hill. And I would lay there at night and just lay there and look at the stars. I'd always ask myself, I wonder if I'm ever going to go anywhere else. Most of my family never went 5 miles from where we grew up at. Little did I know that I'd end up in Missouri. Little did I know what God had planned for me. Let me say to you, you don't know what God's got planned for you, but God knows what He's got planned for you. But I can promise you, you don't have to see tonight when we leave here, you're not going to see all the way home. You get in your car, turn the headlights on, and you can only see as far as those headlights take you. You can't see how far God's going to take you. But can I say today, hey, God can't use a parked car. You need to get busy for God. You need to cleave to the Word of God and do what God have you to do.
Amen.
I'm so excited about this year. Most of you know that I am stepping down from pastoring in September. And people say, are you retiring? Oh, no. I'm not retiring. I'm refiring. I'm refiring for God. I got so much I want to do for God. And I've asked God, please give me the time to finish it out. There's so much. And I won't go through all that tonight because it ain't about me. It's about you and it's about us having revival in our heart. But tonight, again, I encourage you, get on your face, cleave to the Word of God and say, God, I want to be used. God, I want to be used. Hey, listen, you stand in the fight. You be one of those in the name. Put your name right there. Hey, you don't have to be Adonai and you don't have to be Eliezer. You be who you are. And just follow and listen to God. You stay true to this. You cleave to this no matter what. Hey, the world can tell you anything you want to hear. Hey, the world can tell you anything you want to hear. Hey, the Bible, the middle verse in the Bible is Psalm 118:8. And I'm telling you what, don't put your confidence in man. Just put your trust in the Lord. And put your trust in the blessed book. It'll never let you down. These be the names. Hey, we see Adonai. Hey, he slew 800 men at one time. He went against the odds. Hey, you may sit there and say, I can't do anything. But I'm telling you right now, the same God that Adonai had is the same God you have. tonight, commit yourself. God, I'm serious tonight. God, listen, I said in the very beginning, what is keeping you from having revival? You know who's keeping you from having revival? You. It's you. And tonight we need to get on our face. Hey, cleave to the word of God. And then look in verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. You know, when I first got saved, my wife was saved many years before me. I grew up in church. I grew up in a Church of Christ, but I wasn't saved. And after I got saved, I was reading this. Now, you got to remember, I grew up on a farm. You ask me about peas, there's sugar peas, there's green peas, there's black-eyed peas, there's purple hull peas. I can tell you all about peas. But I looked at these words here when it talked about lentils. And I said, it can't be peas. Can't be. I mean, why in the world would Shammah, why would one man stand in the middle of a cotton picking pea patch and defend the pea patch? I mean, so I got out and got me a strong concordance. And I looked the word lentils up. Man, it had to be gold. It had to be silver. I mean, it had to be something. And I looked at it. And I looked at it again, and it says, of the pea family. And here is a new convert, and I'm looking at that. And I look at that and I said, why is this man defending an old pea patch? I got pea patches outside the door here. But then God says, this is my pea patch. This is my pea patch. Can I say tonight, you're God's pea patch? Can I say tonight, you're God's pea patch? Can I say tonight, you're God's pea patch? We are God's pea patch as individuals. Can I say tonight, we need to defend that pea patch. But it don't stop there. Young couple, you two together in marriage, we need good godly couples, young couples today. Y'all a pea patch. Same way with you, pastor, and your wife and your kids. That's your pea patch. God give you, and God's a part of your life. You better defend that pea patch. Yeah. Majesty Baptist Church is the pea patch. And we got to fight. Let me tell you, the devil is trying to destroy us. He's trying to destroy us as Christians. He's especially trying to destroy the homes. And if he gets the homes and he gets his individual, there ain't going to be no church.
That's right.
So tonight, you are worth fighting for. Your families are worth fighting for.
Amen.
Majesty Baptist Church is worth fighting for.
Amen.
Because you're God's pea patch. Tonight, you take your wife. Men, you take your children and you get on that altar and say, this pea patch is worth fighting for. If you don't have family here tonight, get on this altar and church, say, my church is worth fighting for. It's worth it. Let me tell you, I've been doing this a long time and I've never seen the message that church is in today. They're in absolute ruins today. The devil is having a field day.
Yep.
And you know one of the reasons why? Because we ain't defended the pea patch. You know what's happened to us today in our homes? We haven't defended our pea patch. You know why we got so much mess in our personal lives? Because we haven't defended the pea patch. I tell people all the time. I work with people all the time and they stand amazed. They said, how long have you and Kathy been married? I said, we've been married 45 years. She's my best friend. I'm in Lone Ranger and she's Tonto. That's what I always said. People hear all the time us talking, I call her Sally. First time we met was cruising up Riverside Drive in Danville, Virginia. She wouldn't even tell me her name. She said, my name is Sally. So I call her Sally half the time. Let me tell you something. That's my pea patch. Amen. I'll fight you for her. I'll die for her. Amen. And I'm telling you tonight, we ought to feel that way about the Lord. Amen. We ought to feel that way about our families. We ought to feel that way. You may say anything you want to about me, but don't say anything against my God. Don't say anything against my family, because it's a pea patch. Now tonight, this is the first night. What is keeping you from having revival? These be the names. How about it tonight? How about Adonai? When somebody tells you you can't do it, when somebody tells you you're not worthy of it, when somebody tells you, hey, it just can't be done, you go back to old Adonai. 800 at one time. Get on your face tonight and say, God, I'm not much, but I know you can do it. Because when we say we belong to God and we say we can't do it, and what you're saying is, God, I don't believe you can do it. No, I know God can. The question is, do you want to? Tonight, Adonai, Eliezer, he cleaved to the sword. Your life, young family, listen to me tonight, your life ought to be surrounded right here in the Word of God. Your basis of your marriage should be right here. Young families, children, it's got to go back to the Word of God. We got to cleave to it. We got to cleave to it in our lives. And then as we look tonight, we look at Shammah defending God's pea patch. Tonight, we need to get on our face and say, Lord, it's worth it. It's worth defending the pea patch. God's pea patch. God's pea patch. You see, you, your family, everything belongs to God. It's worth defending. This country, our politicians, they want to control you. They want to control your family. And they want to control the church. They want to control it. I ain't talking about going out and starting a civil war, but I tell you what, it's time to stand up and say, oh no, this is God's pea patch. We're going to defend it. Close your Bibles tonight. What's keeping you from having revival? Tonight, these be the names. Hey, you can do it. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ. You can go against the odds. Adonai did. Hey, the same God Adonai had is the same God you have. Amen. Think about that tonight. Eliezer, he cleaved to the Word of God. Cleave to it. Don't let nobody pry it away from you, not only in your hand, but in your heart. And then Shammah. Defend that pea patch at all cost. These be the names. Would you bow your heads tonight? Would you bow your heads tonight? There's not a whole lot to be said tonight. Tonight, I'm just going to ask you, What's keeping you? What's keeping you from having revival? Three great examples tonight. But tonight, what about you? The only excuse you can have for not having revival is you. Tonight, I'm going to ask her if you would start just playing something softly. And if you would stand to your feet tonight, if you'd stand to your feet tonight, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. These be the names. And God, as we start this meeting, we asked ourselves the question, why can't we have revival? What's keeping us? Tonight, may this message stir us and challenge us tonight. God, help us tonight. Help us as individuals. Help us as families and help us as a church. God, we ask now that you have your willing way. With every head bowed and every eye